The following is a paid program.
The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Good morning, everybody. Tom Leach is out today, but he will be joining the show. I am Curtis Birch. In this morning, as we get you ready for Oaks and Derby today, everybody across the great Commonwealth is super excited, even though it might rain on our parade just a little bit. But we're used to that in these past couple years. As I mentioned, we got Tom coming up on the show, and here's the rest of today's guest lineup presented by Sleep Outfitters. So Tom will join us next segment to get some picks on the Derby, on the Oaks, and I'll try to get a couple other bets out of him. Also, we're going to have Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated to talk Kentucky football, and then John Hale of the Courier-Journal to talk a little basketball. Also, probably talk some horse racing with John as well, because he'll be up at Churchill Downs, too. Best way to interact with the show today is to shoot me a tweet. I am on Twitter, @CurtisBurch, B-U-R-C-H. Here's your Wildcat news of the day, presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Just going to give you one quick, cool story, and then we're going to get on with the show because we want to get to those fabulous guests. But there was a cool post on CoachCal.com, and it was by John Calipari himself, and it was basically just a doting father this weekend here in Lexington. There's graduation going down. I believe the commencements start today on Friday. I've seen all over the place that everyone is being warned about terrible traffic because I guess in Lexington there is a visit from the vice president. They have the graduation ceremonies. And then Keeneland, of course, is having a big old derby party as well. So if you're in the city limits of Lexington, maybe not go out and drive. But anyway, you know, Calipari just spoke about his son. Obviously, he's very, very proud. He got his degree quickly, just 3 years and change. And, you know, there was one kind of quote at the end of it that really, really stood out to me. And Calipari said, "I can't wait until the day when the world knows me as John, Brad Calipari's father." That, I mean, obviously, that's always kind of the goal because you grow up and, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have been in the situation where you're always somebody's son, and then eventually it gets flipped on its head to a certain extent, and I would imagine that that's a cool moment for a dad. So you can check that. You can find that link on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. There's a bunch of other stories that you can check out there as well, but we don't have time to get to all those today because we got to talk Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. And we're going to do that with the guy who's normally hosting this show, whose name is on this show, the one and only Tom Leach. And we're going to do that next. I'm Curtis Birch in for Tom today. As I mentioned, if you want to interact with the show, shoot me a tweet at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. And we'll be right back on the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Welcome back in to the Leach Report. Curtis Birch in today. If you'd like to interact with the show, you can shoot me a tweet on Twitter. I don't know where else you would tweet. At Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. As promised, we are going to get to Tom Leach. Derby coverage this week is on this show is presented by Claiborne Farms, doing the unusual, unusually well for more than 100 years. Now, let's check in with the aforementioned Tom Leach at Keeneland. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Curtis. Just, you know, beautiful day. It's sunny, 78 degrees here at Keeneland. Couldn't be nicer.
Oh, is it? I mean, am I? It rains. It seems like every Derby for the past decade, I feel like this has been wet.
It does feel that way. 2013 was a sloppy track. 2017, 2018, and I think 2015 and 2016, it rained during the day. So I don't think the track was sloppy, but it was wet.
Yeah. I guess we'll get, starting off there, the news of the day, there's been another scratch, and the second one, but I guess this slot will not be filled, correct?
Correct. Yeah, there was only one horse on the also eligible list, Bodie Express, and he drew in when Omaha Beach scratched. So no other horses to draw in. So it's 19, and this means that this horse, Heikel, was in the 11 gate. So what they'll do is move 2 through 10 out, and so War of Will actually will break from the 2 starting gate instead of the 1.
And that was an abscess on the left hoof. Obviously, you're a horse expert, I'm a horse novice. How big of a difference is that for everybody in the field, or is it not that big a deal in your estimation?
As far as the gate?
Just moving it out.
It helps War of Will a little bit, because the way the gate is positioned at Churchill for a mile and a quarter race, if you broke from the one hole and ran dead straight, you'd run into the rail. So the horse coming out of the one hole has to come to the right a little bit. And so now you don't have to come to the right quite as much or even at all coming out of the two gates. So it does help from that standpoint a little bit for the connections of War of Will, but not a huge deal. They're still going to have to use some of his early speed to get a good position coming out of there. And it looks like, from what I'm hearing, the reports out of Louisville, the weather's supposed to be pretty good for Oaks Day after around noon. I don't think they're expecting any rain. And then tomorrow, that'll look nearly as good. And then tomorrow they have a big crowd here at Keeneland. Today I'm out here for a new event they're doing. It's an Oaks Day brunch where you can come out and watch some horses work out, have brunch, and then I'm going to be handicapping the Oaks and the Derby here in about an hour. And then tomorrow they'll have probably 25,000 people here at Keeneland. We ran into a group of guys at dinner last night who came in from North Carolina for a guy's trip, but they're just coming to do the Derby at Keeneland. So a lot of people do it that way too.
Yeah, if you've been to the Derby, you know it's tough to get around up in that area. So if you're in central Kentucky, Keeneland is, in my estimation, probably your best option without a doubt. I did, you're speaking, you're going to handicap some stuff, so we'll get a preview of that. What is your kind of thoughts on Mike Smith jumping aboard Cutting Humor? I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of action on this because everybody loves Mike Smith.
Exactly, and you understand it if you you can say, well, you should be loyal to the jockey that was going to ride him. Well, first thing is that Corey Lannery didn't pick up the mount until this week, so he hadn't been a regular rider on this horse. And the other thing is, it's always hard to, should be anyway, hard to criticize somebody for something you'd probably do yourself. And if you had a horse in the Derby and you had a chance to get Mike Smith, I think more often than not, people would take advantage of that opportunity, unless you had a guy that had ridden your horse for a long time and maybe just had a special connection to your horse, and that wasn't the case here. So Cutting Humor picks up Mike Smith. So if you like Cutting Humor, you probably won't get quite as high a price on him as you would have if Mike Smith had not moved into this ride. So, and, this is a horse. I saw a quote from Baffert yesterday where he said, this is a guy that will tell you if he thinks he's got the best horse, like Justify last year, that he thinks it's very wide open, that there's about every horse in the race has he could see having a chance to win, including Cutting Humor.
We'll just get, I'll just then ask you, Tom, who do you kind of like at this point in the Derby?
Well, for the Derby, I have not developed a real strong opinion this week. I've come back to Maximum Security, who won the Florida Derby, and this is, and the main reason is, without a strong opinion on a horse that I like off some particular angle of their, say, prep races, this horse, the only horse in the race with the top, with two 100-plus buyer speed figures, if you track the finishing times, that has historically been a pretty good measure of a horse's success in the Derby. This horse has the fastest finishing times. I just think there's a lot of numbers that point to this horse, and he's going to be probably north of 10-1, and I think that's a good combination. It's good value in a race that seems wide open. He'll be up close to the lead, so if the track is off, he won't get a lot of mud splashed in his face. You know, he's only raced four times. I wish Mike Smith was riding him. I wish he'd raced a couple of more times against a little, you know, one more time maybe in a tougher spot. But there's nobody that has the ideal resume this year. So going to be some holes in about any resume that you take. So for the price, I'm going to take Maximum Security. I think Game Winner is got a big shot for Baffert. Of the three Bafferts, I like that one the best. Probably Improbable next, and then Roadster third among the three Bafferts. I think Bill Mott's two horses have a chance to run really well. One of them, Country House, is going to be probably 40-1 or better, and he could get into the trifecta or the superfecta, I think, at a big price. Horse ran second here in the Bluegrass, win. I could see him being in the mix, but my win pick's going to be Maximum Security. And I do like a horse that ran at Keeneland in the Oaks today, Restless Rider, who ran second in the Ashland. I think she'll get the money today in the Oaks.
Okay, well, that was my next question, your picks for the Oaks, because obviously that's the big race today. And if you'd like more of Tom Leach's awesome handicapping, because he's not just the voice of the Wildcats, he's an excellent horseman. Tom, tell him again what you're all doing out there at Keeneland today and how they can get there.
Well, this is an Oaks Day brunch. It's actually going on right now here at Keeneland. It continues till about 11 o'clock. And then Jim Goodman, the Mutualist Director out here at Keeneland, he and I do a podcast at KeenelandSelect.com. Every Saturday all year long on the big races, but this weekend we do it for the Friday card at Churchill and the Saturday card as well. So KeenelandSelect.com, and best of luck to everybody with their picks this weekend and whoever you're rooting for. And it's always a great story whoever wins the Oaks and the Derby, so I'm sure we'll be talking about that come Monday on the show.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Tom, thank you so much for your time, man. And thanks for letting me host
the
show.
Thank you, Curtis, for filling in. Have a good day. Have a good Derby weekend, everybody.
Yeah. Yep. Coming up next, we're gonna still talk some little Derby with the rest of our guests. If you're in this Commonwealth of Kentucky, you have to have at least some kind of opinion, even if it's just making one up on the horses. And we're going to also talk some UK football and basketball with Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated. That's coming up next. I'm Curtis Birch in today for Tom Leach. If you want to interact with the show, shoot me a tweet at Curtis Birch. B-U-R-C-H. You're listening to The Leach Report.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Welcome back in to The Leach Report. Curtis Birch in today. Easiest way to interact with the show, if you have any questions, shoot me a tweet at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. You can also follow along with The Leach Report on Facebook. Just search for The Leach Report. Now, thrilled to be joined by Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated to talk a little Kentucky football, possibly a little Kentucky basketball, whatever we get into. Jeff is a jack of all trades. Hello, Mr. Drummond. How are you?
Hey, Curtis. Good morning.
I know. Hopefully you listened to the last segment and you got all the fantastic advice on horse racing from Tom Leach. But I don't know how much you get into the horses, but I mean, here we are the Friday before Derby, so I must ask you, do you have a Derby horse?
Well, I've got to admit, I'm one of those that kind of goes through the Derby horses a day or so before the race and picks his favorite name or silk combination. I know next to nothing about the ponies. And
next to nothing. If I told you right now, next to nothing was one of the Derby horses, you wouldn't be surprised because that sounds like a Derby horse name. But listen, that's the fun about all this, Jeff. And I think it's one of those kind of like community things that we do across the state. Even if you're late to the game, like morning of 15 minutes before, and you just get on the internet and do a Derby search, you're like, all right, I got to pick one of these guys. Who am I rooting for? Because everybody's going to watch that 2 minutes.
Yeah, that is part of it, and I always enjoy it. I don't know why it never became a bigger thing, because I grew up around here. I was born in Richmond. I've always been in the state, but I've just never picked up on it as a sport that I follow that closely to know, you know, who's supposed to win, you know, and why. It just it never has clicked that way for me. Sunday Silence is the only Derby horse that I've ever picked. correctly to win the dang thing.
Well, say, hey, you got one win. That's many. That's one more than some people ever have.
That may have been like 20 years ago or 25 years. I don't even remember the year, but it's been that long. For a while, we had a running joke going in the family. I had picked like 3 or 4 years in a row the horse that finished dead last.
Hey, that's and a talent, too.
I argued that. I said, that's starting to be as impressive as picking the winner. Somebody that could pick the dead last horse every year.
Looks like Sunday Silence was in 1989, so you've had a little bit of a drought there, Jay Drum. But a guy,
my graduation year.
A guy who hasn't been on a drought is Mark Stoops. He's been just absolutely crushing the recruiting scene lately, getting big-time commits. And I just wanted to ask you a big question, a big-picture question here. What do you think was the bigger kind of factor when you're listening to some of these recruits? Do you think they were more kind of in tune with the 10-win season that they had, or did they fall in love with draft night last weekend where you saw so many guys getting picked coming from Kentucky?
You know, it's a little bit of both, and sometimes it depends on who the kid is and what position he plays. But some of these guys that are more defensive-oriented, it's definitely resonated quite a bit, the success they've had, you know, with some of those guys on that side of the ball, and especially Josh Allen. You know, it's just – that is kind of marketing that you can't – you can't put a value on it. It's just so high to have a guy, you know, talked about the way Josh was for that, you know, 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the draft. That's a pretty big deal. And all those kids hear that over and over and over again. I think it really sticks with them in their mind when it comes time to pick a school or to decide to cut their list down to a handful of schools. You see a lot of guys, you know, throwing Kentucky in there now.
What do you make of kind of the, and I mean, this is probably true of all of us when we were in high school, a little bit of bravado, a little maybe overconfidence to a certain extent, but, you know, John Young has, I guess, been on record that he thinks this is going to be one of the best, if not the best, Kentucky football recruiting classes ever. Do you think that, I don't need to put all that on them, but, I mean, this is shaping up to be something pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah, you would think so. On paper, it has some super high potential. The only drawback is that they don't have a whole lot of scholarships to work with.
Yeah.
You know, and usually we talk about this, and then it gets closer to signing day or days now, I guess we would call it.
Yeah.
And it always ends up being more than we thought for one reason or another. But this year, it's not going to be that full boat because of the way, you know, the scholarship numbers work out, and they won't have enough guys leave. Yeah. And you don't want really a lot of attrition to happen when you've got good football players.
Jeff, we got to get to a break here, but there is one that we're going to talk after this break, and his name is Bo Allen. I want to get your thoughts on him because he is announcing Monday. I'm Curtis Birch in for Tom today. You're listening to The Leach Report.
Look for The Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Welcome back into The Leach Report. Curtis Birch in today. Jeff Drummond held through that break with us because, Jeff, this is a guy obviously locally in Lexington that has been kind of in the headlines for a while now. Bo Allen, big-time quarterback. He got a ton of offer from a ton of power programs. The winds kind of seem to be shifting that he might stay home for college. He is announcing on Monday. What do you kind of know about his recruitment?
Yeah, all the signs right now going into that are really strongly pointing towards Kentucky. And at this point, I would be kind of shocked if he were to land anywhere but UK at this point. And that's a great thing for Kentucky because it would probably be, you know, the biggest quarterback recruiting splash for Stoops during this time here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that's going on in this recruitment, I feel like. I mean, he's got major offers from all over the country. And I think that was kind of like the headline-grabbing stuff when you have big-time programs coming in. But it could be a situation where, you know, this is important on a lot of levels, right? Because quarterbacks always seem to kind of lead a recruiting class. You keep a guy local at your school, you know, and you beat out some big guys. So this could continue that positive momentum that we were talking about on the last segment with the 10 wins and then the draft. And now if you can keep this ball rolling, good things can happen.
Yeah, definitely. And when you look at, like, his schools of interest, you know, you see Kentucky there with Duke and Washington State and Virginia, West Virginia, that is. And these are all people that can really bring the ball around and put up some huge passing numbers. So to be able to land him against that kind of competition, and he had a ton of other offers, but those are the ones that he kind of narrowed down his decision to, really speaks highly of the recruiting ability of Kentucky coming off a year where, you know, they were known as one of the foremost running teams mm-hmm. in college football and power football teams.
Yeah, yeah, that's something that I feel like this could kind of help, you know, overcome that, like, stigma. Because if you can get, you know, quarterbacks in the pipeline, and obviously, Jeff, you know this, you've been around the beat for a while. I've been joking on this when I've been talking on other programs. We always attempt to kind of lay out these quarterback scenarios. We're like, oh, I'm sure you remember this. We're like, oh, it'll be great. We're going to go from Patrick Toles, he'll hand it right off to Drew Barker, and then all this Gunnar Hoke kid, he'll come in and it'll just be a fantastic transition and everyone will be happy, and then none of those guys really play. So I feel like to a certain extent, you just got to hit on, you just sometimes got to get the quarterbacks you can, and when you got a local kid, you definitely want to keep him around.
Yeah, for sure, and those best laid plans at quarterback don't always kind of pan out. They're supposed to, and kind of funny thing at Kentucky, you know, it kind of crosses two sports. It's almost like, you know, the point guard situation sometimes over there with Coach Cowher, the best player in his class, it seems like doesn't, you know, rarely turns out to be the guy you were expecting to be going in. So it's a tough thing to predict. But with Bo Allen, I've had a chance to see him play a lot in person more than guys in the past, obviously, since he's in Lexington, seen a lot of film on him, seen him at camps. And this is a guy that can just make every throw that you want a quarterback to be able to make. And if they were able to, you know, reel him in on Monday, I think you're definitely looking at a guy that could be the future of the position at the school.
Yeah, he's announcing Monday afternoon, and obviously they'll be talking about that on this show, and you'll be writing about it on Cats Illustrated. Jeff, let everybody know where they can follow along with your work on social media and on the internet.
Well, it's at JDrumUK on Twitter is the easiest way there, and we're at Cats Illustrated on the Rivals Network, catsillustrated.com.
Awesome stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Thank you, Curtis.
Coming up next, we are going to talk to John Hale of the Courier-Journal. He's obviously, if you work for the Courier-Journal at this time of year, you are legally obligated to at least do some horse coverage. So we'll get his take on that. And then we'll talk some UK basketball with him because he does a fantastic job covering the beat of both UK football and UK basketball. I'm Curtis Birch in today. You can follow me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. That's the easiest way to interact with the show if you have any comments or questions. We'll come up next. We'll talk to John Hale. You're listening to The Leach Report.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back in to the Leach Report. Curtis Birch in today. And now, we got John Hale of the Courier-Journal on the line. Good morning, John. Happy Oaks Day.
Thanks, Curtis. How are you?
Good. How are you? Are you at the track today? What's your weekend of coverage like for you for this weekend?
Yeah, no, I'll be there tomorrow. It's kind of all hands on deck at the Courier-Journal for Derby Day, but thankfully I do not have to endure the rain 2 days in a row, so I will be following all my colleagues' coverage from the Oaks just like everyone else.
it's kind of a big deal, you know, this Kentucky Derby thing. And I gotta ask, who do you have? Do you have a horse you like?
Yeah, I've gotten this question several times, and I had to come up with something because I frankly don't know anything about horse racing. But covering a lot of Kentucky basketball, I can get behind this narrative of a preseason favorite takes a dip in the middle of the year, has some adversity, and overcomes it. So I'm going with Roadster.
There you go. That sounds like it's pretty solid thought process. I still recommend everybody take Tom Leach's advice, which we got earlier in the show, over anybody else's, because he knows way more than us.
Yeah, me too. don't take my advice.
But let's get into what you do know a lot about, Kentucky basketball. John, I'm following along, and it just seems odd to me that it seems like Kentucky, and it's late in this kind of quote-unquote recruiting time, but with the grad transfers and reclassification, you know, recruiting for the next team, I guess at this point, goes all the way up till almost the fall semester. But it just seems like Kentucky's involved with a lot of different guys still. Johnny Juzang, R.J. Hampton will not take Kentucky off his list. You have the potential Blackshear transfer, and then you still got Montgomery and Richards who potentially could come back. What is your kind of make of all this?
Yeah, it's interesting for us because, you know, so many people in the basketball world have kind of shifted to the 2020 class already, and Kentucky fans don't even know what their 2019 roster looks like yet. So it does seem like there's a lot still hanging out there, and this appears to kind of be the new norm since Cal has adopted this grad transfer philosophy that he, you know, overcame. We were in the same spot last year at this time where we were thinking about Reed Travis was testing the draft waters, and everybody was connected to Kentucky. Ashton Hagans wouldn't say if he was reclassifying or not, so that lingered into June. I think that's just kind of where we're at now. They obviously need another guard and another big man, especially if, you know, one of Montgomery and or Richards leaves. So I think they're just kind of casting a wide net. I still think it's pretty hard to believe that RJ Hampton would end up at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I talked to his dad and wrote a story earlier this week, and they said all the right things about Cal and playing together and his track record, you know, playing multiple guards. But they're just better situations for RJ to go play with the ball in his hand and still be on, you know, really good teams like Memphis, who has James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries and a bunch of other top recruits, or Kansas, which is obviously kind of in the hunt every year. So I think that's how that'll play out. But if they get Juzang, if they get Blackshear or a reclassifying big man like Infale Dante, who's a name that people keep mentioning as a possibility for that, I think you feel really good, especially if you get at least one of Richardson and Montgomery back.
Well, yeah, and I guess, and it's the internet, John, so rumors go to 11, but Jaden McDaniels, I guess some people now think that Kentucky has a shot when it was all kind of but assumed that it was he was going to go to Washington, and he still hasn't announced. He's a tall guy, but he's not a big guy, if that makes sense. So it's tough to follow, but it's kind of fun. I don't know about you. I mean, I know it gets maybe pull your hair out a certain extent trying to chase all these guys down, but it gives us stuff to talk about at least.
Yeah, no, I think it makes this time of the year way more interesting than it would be otherwise. I mean, I know Kentucky fans can never get enough recruiting, but for me, it's always hard in this period to look ahead for an entire year when there's another season out there. So I don't have much energy to cover 2020 recruits at this point. So the idea that this is more immediately relevant keeps me engaged a little bit more. And you mentioned McDaniels. He's interesting because he's like the only traditional 2019 recruit still available, and we're not really even talking about him. So that's a fun name to throw out there still, too.
Yeah, and I guess the Juzang commitment, that's the thing that I guess if you want to keep your interest in 2020, John, there's a potential that it seems like all these guys might end up reclassifying because that just keeps happening and happening. Like, what do you make of Montgomery and Richard's situation at this point? Obviously, there's no new intel, but what can people kind of – if you're looking at it from the standpoint of this Blackshear deal, like, is Kentucky really need him, or will they have both of those guys back?
Yeah, I mean, I think the smart money, as we're in Derby weekend and talking about bets here, is still on both those guys coming back and just using this process to get feedback of what they need to improve and where they work on. I don't necessarily think it's a done deal, though. I mean, I think EJ definitely more than Nick, just because he seems to have this potential as maybe the P.J. Washington-type sophomore year where he could move into the first round with a big year. So I really expect him to come back. But Nick's in that same situation that guys like Wenyen Gabriel and Isaac Humphries and the third one escapes my memory. But they've had three guys declare the last 2 years who weren't going to get drafted at all. And it's easy to criticize those moves, But a guy, Isaac Humphries and Isaiah Briscoe, are both on rosters now. And we don't know what the individual familial concerns are in these situations. And it's easy for us to make these decisions when it's not our money at stake. I mean, some families, it might make sense just to go get paid overseas or in the G League or something. So you're making some money while you develop. I don't know that that's the case for Nick. I don't know that it's not the case, but it's a situation where, given what's happened the last 2 or 3 years at Kentucky, I don't think you can just assume that anybody's coming back, even if they're not, you know, projected as a surefire draft pick.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, we're around these guys a lot, but we don't know their full stories all the way through. As I mentioned, you know, leading up to this segment, John, you also do a great job covering the UK football beat. I just did want to ask you one question as we get out of here. You were down at draft last week. How big a night was that for Josh Allen and UK football?
I think it was huge. I mean, we saw this a little bit, 2015, when Bud Dupree got drafted in the first round, and Mark Stoops was there in Chicago for that draft, and how much that helped on the in the early days of recruiting. But at that point, it was still about selling the vision. It was about, here's what we could do with a guy who we inherited. Imagine what we can do if we have 4 years with you or whatever. And then it frankly got to the point where the draft was something that opposing teams could use against Kentucky. They went 2 years without having a guy picked. Obviously, a lot of that was because Josh Allen and Mike Edwards came back for their senior years. But that, I'm sure that didn't stop other schools from telling recruits that, you know, Kentucky wasn't the spot for them. So now you have that moment where Josh Allen's going in the top 10. They get four other draft picks, you know, one guy in each of the first four rounds. Mark Stoops is on the NFL Network and ESPN and everywhere else that day. They've already seen the bump in recruiting with John Young's commitment, you know, maybe again on Monday with Bo Allen committing. It's a situation where I think it gives the program a lot of momentum, and it takes, you know, one more of those strikes that was against Kentucky away. Now you can't say the draft. Now you can't say the Florida streak. Now you can't say you can't contend for the East. So it's just another thing in Mark Stoops' hat that he can go out there and sell to potential players.
Yeah, and it was pretty clear Mark Stoops was having a good time. He's over there taking selfies in the green room. And I'd never thought that I would see a Mark Stoops selfie, but there it was.
Yeah, he seemed to have really enjoyed that, and it's easy. He knew it was a big weekend for Kentucky, and even when we were down there, he was like calling, trying to set up interviews with the TV people and making sure he coordinated to get to the right spot. And coaches aren't always that way, but it was a moment where you could tell that Mark knew that he had a lot to brag about, and he was gonna take his moment in the sun.
John, let everybody know where they can follow you along on social media and where they can read your work.
Yeah, it's at John Hale, JonHale _CJ on Twitter, and courier-journal.com.
Courier Journal will have a ton of Derby coverage, so check them out. John, thank you so much for your time, man.
Anytime. Thanks, Curtis.
Coming up next, I'm going to discuss an interview I got to do yesterday and let you guys know where you can find it. I got to talk to a future Wildcat yesterday. It was a pretty cool experience. I'll share a little bit about that coming up next. I'm Curtis Birch. In today for Tom, you're listening to The Leach Report.
This is The Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Curtis Birch in for Tom today. As I've been giving out my Twitter handle all show, at Curtis Birch. We've got a few tweets, one from Roy. We got another one from Phil, who says, love Tom, but great listening to you this morning, CB, just like when you're on with DG in the evening. The DG in that sentence is Dick Gabriel, and you can hear us on out of Lexington on 630 WLAP, Big Blue Insider. We are weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. if you would like to tune in then. You can also hear me on Locked On Kentucky. That's a podcast I do with Kyle Tucker of The Athletic. The latest edition of the show, which can be found on my timeline, and if you just search Locked On Kentucky on any of your podcast players, is with Brennan Canada, who recently signed with Kentucky. He is going to be a walk-on. And I got a chance to spend about 25 minutes with him. Had a really interesting conversation. I know Kentucky fans really love the homegrown guy, and he's a guy from Winchester. It was just kind of fun to see his face because I felt like during the interview we kind of circled back a couple times to the fact that it's like, do you really believe that this is happening? And at one point, I was talking to him, and I asked him, you know, you're a UK fan. You were a UK fan growing up. How often did you get to games at Rupp? And he said one or two a year, and he said he went to a couple last year. And I asked him, you know, if he envisioned himself at that point onto the court. And at this point, the recruitment really hadn't started from UK's end. And he said it was a dream, but it wasn't like a goal because it didn't seem obtainable at that point. Well, the way things shook out, Kentucky was looking to add a walk-on. He has great size. He's 6'7". He can shoot the ball. He's just got a lot of skills that you would want as a basketball player, and he's a local kid. So Kentucky reaches out, and the ball just gets rolling. And there's fun stories about like how his announcement was released from UK. It was kind of almost a surprise to him, which is really interesting. So that's a real fun story. I would just encourage everybody to go check that out. It's Locked On Kentucky. You can find it on my timeline at Curtis Birch, or just search Locked On Kentucky on your podcast player of a choice. Got another tweet from Dustin Knoll, and he asked, are you team Billy Rutledge or Shannon the Dude? Well, Billy's producing today, so today I'll be team Billy. I didn't know these guys were competing against each other.
Good answer, Curtis.
but that's what I'm going to do today so I can stay on air. One more tweet from Rodney. He said, I got distracted at work and missed part of your appearance on the show today. Will I be able to listen later? I just wanted to hear your Derby picks. That wraps it up right now because I have to finish with my Derby picks. You're lucky, Rodney. I haven't made a Derby pick yet. And Tom's Derby picks were earlier in the show, and I'll tweet out a link to the podcast later today when it gets uploaded. My Derby pick, much like Jeff Drummond earlier, I am the amateur of amateurish handicappers, but I'm gonna go just off the heart, and I'm gonna go War of Will. Tom gave me a little. This is not based off of any actual horse knowledge, but my dad's name is Will, and he's now out of the one spot, so he has maybe like the slightest of slight chances, and so that's my pick. He's probably not gonna win, but I'm gonna put a little money on War of Will. Thanks so much to Billy for producing today. Thanks to everyone out there for listening. Thanks for your tweets. Thanks to Jeff Drummond, John Hale for joining the program. And thanks to Tom Leach for letting me host and giving his breakdown of the Oaks and Derby. I'm Curtis Birch. As I mentioned, you can listen to me on Big Blue Insider 6 to 8 p.m. on 630 WLAP and follow me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report Radio Network.